I'm Melissa Harris-Perry, and this is The Takeaway. Let's get back to it. Now, last month, a group of 13 aid organizations working in the Mideast released a devastating and urgent report. According to the report, more than 12 million people in Syria and Iraq are in immediate danger of losing access to water, food, and electricity.
They say rising temperatures, record low levels of rainfall, and drought are depriving people of drinking and agricultural water.
That was Indus TV discussing that new report, which calls on the international community to address the drought and the regional catastrophe that is likely to follow. Joining me to discuss this is Nirvana Shalki, the Middle East and North Africa Regional Director for CARE. Nirvana, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Melissa, for having me.
So why did CARE and these 12 other organizations feel that now was the right time to release this report?
We work with vulnerable populations across the world, and of course, the Middle East and North Africa is no exception. We have been monitoring with great concern the worsening drought in the region. We had to increase programming to support people's livelihoods and food security. And since the climate and subsequent drought are hugely disruptive to agriculture and harvest, and adding to that the COVID pandemic as well, the water crises people are facing in the region now is really coming to unprecedented level, such as in Iraq and Syria. It is actually coming on top of existing crises and reaching a point where the already preventative measures that we are taking to deal with the fragile context we operate in are no longer effective. Data clearly showed that the Euphrates River, on which more than 12 million people in both Syria and Iraq depend, has 70% less water than usual. And other data from NASA Earth System Observatory showed that this regional drought across the region is likely to be the worst in 900 years.
What are the root causes of this drought?
It is multi-layered, allow me to say. The water crisis is hitting the countries that already are experiencing one of the worst humanitarian crises of our times. 10 years into conflict in Syria, for example, with the economic crisis and COVID-19, meant that more than ever are in need of humanitarian assistance. However, just looking closely at the causes of the current water crises, we are seeing that Syria and Iraq are experiencing the worst drought level in 70 years. There is a record low levels of rainfall and temperatures keeping rising. The Euphrates River, in which more than 12 million people in Syria and Iraq depend, has 70% less water than usual. Most of the water stations are not working anymore, some due to the low water levels in dams that provide electricity to the region, and others due to the destruction by conflict and resulting lack of maintenance and repair. Adding to that, the internally displaced communities who already struggle to survive day by day are worse hit. Many of them live in camps or informal settlements that are rarely connected to the water systems. They are dependent on water trucking from the humanitarian organizations. And even that, they are not having, constant access to it. To be very honest, the situation is made worse. But the fact is, we have not seen the worst days yet.
Okay. Talk to me about what actions and steps need to be implemented immediately.
The water crisis is affecting the electricity. And this is something that we need to factor in. For example, in northern Syria, two dams will likely close soon, and then 3 million people will be without electricity. And this is affecting families in their homes, but also public services such as hospitals and health centers. Many essential facilities can only operate with generators today, and often only for 1 or 2 hours per day. Imagine a hospital treating wounded people and COVID-19 patients or mothers giving birth have to work without electricity. In the same time, we're already seeing outbreaks of diarrhea as people simply don't have access to clean water. And in displaced camps for internally displaced people, over 90% of the population say that they have to rely on water trucking and they cannot afford paying for enough water, especially now during the hot summer temperatures. What happens is that people have to prioritize using water to drink for themselves or their children, and often having not enough water for hand washing. This is posing, of course, a huge risk where hardly anyone is vaccinated against COVID-19. From an action perspective, there are so many things that need to be done, but the top priority, because there is no time to waste, authorities in the region and donor governments across the world need to act now to save these lives. And I think that the big priority here is the funding, especially that humanitarian funding has been cut drastically in the past year, especially for the northeast of Syria. And more support is needed to sustain humanitarian operations. So we have more needs, but less resources than ever today.
Certainly, war and regional conflict are made so much worse by a climate crisis like this. But in a kind of vicious cycle, this kind of climate crisis can also then lead to greater international tensions within the region. Can you talk to us a little bit about the way that regional governments, maybe particularly those that are somewhat wealthier, nations like Turkey, are in relationship with nations, for example, like Syria, in this moment?
I mean, the situation is impacting everyone. I mean, there are no exceptions here. I mean, this year, the droughts are not just hitting Syria and Iraq harder than usual. We can also see that people in Turkey's major cities are suffering from water shortages as water reservoirs have been depleted since last year. This is the regional crisis that requires everyone to act together to try to find a solution. The latest fires in Turkey are unfortunately showing how drastic the impact of the drought is, not just again on specific country, but across the region.
Is there something that listeners can do, that individuals can do in this moment?
Sure. I mean, I think that the support has to be, on multi-levels. We are very grateful for donor governments that support care and the humanitarian community to serve the communities that are mostly in need. But there is also the fact that active citizenship, an example in the US, can play a more active role to really engage on advocacy, on support, advocacy to your local representatives and making sure that these issues are raised to their attention. And there is also the importance of participating and hopefully, donating if possible to similar causes that are not necessarily always on the forefront of the humanitarian agenda in some areas of the world. So it's important to raise this level of attention towards it.
Nirvana Shaki is the Middle East and North Africa Regional Director for CARE. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. Thank you, Melissa.